Today is Tuesday, May the 9th. I'm Gary Zimek, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize that we are in your presence now. Lord, we ask you to walk with us today, to help us, to guide us, to allow us to always remember your presence throughout the day. Lord, we come to you with many problems, many worries, many difficulties. We give them to you, Lord. We ask you to handle them for us. We ask you to help us this day to stay close to you and to show you to others. May all that we do bring greater glory to your name, Lord. We ask you also to speak through us on the program today, to allow our voices to proclaim your good news, and please open all of our minds and hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for all of these things through the intercession of your blessed mother, Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 Good morning, boys.
Morning.
Good morning, Gary. Oh, that's nice. In unison, Frank Elias and Dave Parker ready to go today.
Speak for yourself.
Well, we had some extra time before the show. We were sitting here and like, wow, we practiced, didn't we?
We do.
No.
Hey, Dave, and we were talking about this before the show. Doesn't Frank look spiffy today?
Oh, he does.
His nice dress shirt. Frank,
yeah, he does.
Why
good,
is everybody
brother?
Reacting that way? My wife, as I was walking out the door, who's not normally up, was, why are you dressed like that?
Wow.
We're impressed.
Yeah, we're impressed.
I think I'm going to have to step it up a little bit tomorrow.
Yeah, me
Dave.
Too. I mean,
especially
I have
you.
My flannel shirt on because it's chilly out. You have your sweatshirt on.
I got my sweatshirt on.
And Frank, you know, usually his characteristic like Flyers jersey or Eagles sports jerseys, you know, but hey. You're looking good, buddy.
Yeah. We like to acknowledge that. You know, yeah. Frank, we don't want to let it go unnoticed. Around here, we notice the little things, right, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. Is this a slow start to the... No, I'm just kidding. We're groping.
Styling today.
You're styling. I love that word.
Yeah, styling. I like it. Hey, we have got a great show today. The doctors are in. We have a double dose of doctors, and they both happen to be from Steubenville, Ohio. Starting off, we're going to be talking to Dr. John Bergsma. We're going to be kicking off a series on his book, Bible Basics for Catholics. Mm. I think you guys are going to love this because he breaks the Bible down into very, very simple, some very simple steps, some concepts. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at God's covenant with Adam today, starting at the very beginning. Yeah. And then later on in the show, our friend Dr. Gregory Popchak will be here to continue his series on his book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad.
Yeah, I was going to say about Dr. Bergsma, Lord knows I need some basics sometime. Like, I mean, how did I forget that? Or yeah, I mean, it's always good to go back to basics.
It is. You know? And Dave, in his book, if you take a look at this here, he illustrates his book with stick figures.
Yes,
he does. I mean, he really keeps things.
Wow, I could be an artist.
Yeah, this is...
There's a future.
We'll talk about this, but that's what Adam looks like, right?
I now have my future.
Exactly. Wow. I know you've been searching, brother, for a while. And you found it.
I can
it.
Do that.
Yep. So yeah. We're going to be talking about some good. Bible basics, getting yes. back to basics. So, how was everybody's evening?
It was very good. Very good. We had some company over. You know, you guys know that my wife, God bless her, watches our grandchildren here, you know. So it was a doubleheader yesterday. Leanna and Timothy were there, and boy, are they active.
And she watches you, too.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that. then I roll in from the show, and I'm pumped, and then Grandpa doesn't do much except, you know, agitate sometimes. I don't know. Hi, kids, you know, and Jackson the dog, and it was all fun. But then I get a stern look occasionally. Okay, I'm sorry.
Frank, how about your evening?
I don't know. Fine. I'm trying to.
I'm sorry. Listen, I'm trying to be compassionate and caring.
Actually, I finished a project I was working
Speaking
on.
Speaking of basics.
So, you know, it was
Break
good.
It down.
It was good.
All right.
Very good. Nice and chilly out there. I mean, this doesn't feel like May
Speak
weather.
Speak for yourself.
Well, yeah.
It's not nice and chilly. It's chilly.
To be positive.
This is the time of year I'm looking forward to spring.
I know.
I'm looking forward to flowers. I'm looking forward to getting outside and doing things. And instead, I got this.
Frank has seasonal confusion here.
Yeah, but it is true. This does not feel like May weather.
No,
yeah,
it feels more like February.
Yeah. You know why we're under this? You want me to throw some weather at you guys?
I do.
They call it the Omega effect. Have really? You heard that?
No, yeah. I have not.
Yeah, if you look at the weather pattern, like from the satellite and all the schematics on the weather shows or the weather reports, it looks like it's in the shape of the Greek letter omega. The left and right coasts are cold, but in the middle, going up into the upper Midwest, it's hot. So they've seen this before in meteorological terms, and they call it the Omega effect. So and we're still under it.
So, Dave, have you ever had someone call you Cliff Clavin? yes.
As a matter of fact, no. That's Whoa. One of my favorite shows, too. Norm! Hey, Norm! Come on in! You know, Cheers. What a classic show, right? Maybe we can reprise some of those skits, guys. I don't know. It looks like we're trying to do it now, you know? Good one. That was good, man. I love that.
I am afraid to say anything right now because this has turned into a free-for-all.
Yeah, really. I'm ducking the slings Shocking. And arrows, you know? Anyways.
Oh, man. Why don't we look at the gospel? Why don't we yes. reel in a little
please,
bit?
Please, Gare. Please look at the gospel.
Get back to business. Today, we look at the gospel from the Tuesday of the fourth week mm-hmm. of Easter. John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. The feast of the dedication was taking place in Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus walked about in the temple area on the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." And obviously, this is a continuation of the theme of the Good Shepherd.
Yes.
And Jesus, again, clearly says that his sheep know his voice. Mm-hmm. And, guys, it's a little repetitive. I mean, we've heard this. We heard it on Sunday. We heard it yesterday. We hear it again today. My sheep know my voice. Mm-hmm. Do we really know the voice of Jesus? Do we hear the voice of Jesus
Good point.
Every day?
Good points.
It's yeah. hard. It's
it
not is. Easy. No. Because we are bombarded with a lot of distractions. Mm-hmm. I just got finished with moving from one house to another. You guys have been through moves. You know how all-consuming that can
be. Yes.
And for I don't know how many weeks, that's all I could think about. And I was trying to pray my prayers. It was hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was
mm-hmm.
hard because life just gets in the way
Absolutely.
Sometimes.
Absolutely.
How do we find Jesus in our day-to-day lives? Frank, it's not easy.
It's not. And you have to start with, you know, first of all, within your heart and that openness to hearing him. And I think that is the challenge that we all face. We don't yeah. hear, and partially because we're not listening. We're just yeah. trying to say. You know, so sometimes it's not just the praying outward. It's the reflection inward
yeah.
and being able to understand what is happening around you. What are those signs around you where you're being guided and you don't see that, hey, you need to take this off ramp. You're just continuing going this one direction. And so, you know, it is being able to pay attention. What is that mm-hmm. sign and mm-hmm. where do I need to go?
That's a key point. I'm sorry,
no,
Dave, but,
go ahead, Gary.
But Frank made a key point about where you're being guided. A lot of times people will say, well, I want to do God's will. I don't know what he wants me to do. But yet, he speaks to us through the circumstances in our lives often.
Oh.
Certain doors
yes,
shut,
does.
Certain doors open, certain people come into our lives. The key is, Frank, as you were saying, being aware. Am I receptive? Am I really seeking him out? Father Jim Sitchko talked about this mm-hmm. yesterday. Am I seeking him out in the day-to-day events that are happening to
mm-hmm.
me?
Mm-hmm. Maybe what because we get so... Well, we want to do so well for our families. We're busy. You know, you made the move and everything else, and you have things to get done.
Yeah.
And we get programmed in a way.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm suggesting you can just make a note. Put a reminder on your phone that, hey, I'm going to have, you know, set aside 5 minutes. Take a break.
Yeah.
And just sit down and say, okay, enough of this stuff. I'll get back to it because it's here. and just go and meditate, pray, or reflect. Get some quiet time.
Yeah, I was going to say reflect. I think that ultimately, you know, it is finding what that, you know, where that is for us. But the other piece to it is I think we're often impacted not just by ourselves, but by society.
Yeah.
You know, think about it. You know, the phone is a great example. I'm sitting here holding my phone looking at things. I'm getting distracted.
Yeah.
You know, I'm distracted from both of you. I think I'm distracted from other things, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, these are the things that those distractions are around us everywhere, and we have to make sure we find ways to alleviate those distractions.
I have a suggestion that just popped into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit Radio.
Absolutely.
And yeah, you know, and yeah. In all seriousness, the other day, and I do this sometimes, I'll turn on the radio. I have a long drive here, and I'll be praying in the car. But sometimes things start to dry up in my mind a little bit. I'll pop on Holy Spirit Radio, and invariably, the programming that we have here, something just catches me and draws me in.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Frank, we have so many good programs, not only the network programs, but the local programs on the station that help draw us to that closer relationship with the Lord.
There's always great times to reflect. One of my favorite times to reflect is actually during the 3 o'clock hour.
Oh,
you know, the rosary and like
that,
you know,
is powerful.
And you know, so I love during the 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah, the holy hour.
And then the other aspect today is going to have, like, on Tuesdays we have the homily from the Archbishop, and that is today. Today it's a long one, but one of the things is pay attention to that. That's one of the, I find, even easier to reflect then than I even do sometimes during Mass.
Wow. I agree with that, but also Sister Ann Shields in that hour. I mean, when I'm driving most days, and I turn it on, and there she is, and I just love her. So, I mean, I just automatically go into, I have to listen to, she's so spot on.
I love her. We've got to get her back on the show. She's been on with us before. But
yes.
You know, you may not be familiar, and we're grateful that you're listening to us, and we hope to get your day started off in the right way. That's what we're trying to do. But give it a chance throughout the day. Pop on Holy Spirit Radio and listen to some of the other great shows.
Absolutely.
They'll inspire you. We choose these programs for a reason.
Yeah, like the Word of God on Tuesdays and in Barbara Schinkel's program.
Yeah.
Today.
Today's Tuesday.
Yes.
That's right.
Many, many good, excellent local programs. Here we
go. So check us out online at holyspiritradio.org. You can find out more about the great programming we have for you each and every day. When we come back, Dr. John Bergsma, Bible Basic for Catholics.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 9th. Today we celebrate St. John of Avila. Born in 1500 in the Castile region of Spain, at age 14, John was sent to the University of Salamanca to study law. Later, he studied philosophy and theology in Alcala before his ordination as a diocesan priest. As his parents' sole heir, John received a considerable fortune upon their deaths, which he immediately distributed to the poor. John traveled to Seville, hoping to become a missionary to Mexico. However, Seville's archbishop persuaded John to remain and minister to the inhabitants of Andalusia. Over the next 9 years, John earned a reputation as an engaging preacher, a perceptive spiritual director, and a wise confessor. Not afraid to denounce vice in high places, John was investigated by the Inquisition, but later cleared. He counted among his friends such saints as Francis Borgia, Ignatius Loyola, John of God, John of the Cross, Peter of Alcantara, and Teresa of Avila. John worked closely with the Society of Jesus, helping it to grow both in Spain and in the Spanish colonies. John of Avila died in 1569, was canonized in 1970, and named a Doctor of the Church in 2012. His mystical writings have been translated into several languages. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
When going about your daily life becomes difficult, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433.
Angel Army provides compassionate home care services. Angel Army can assist you with your personal care, make your bed, do your laundry, and perform light housekeeping. We can accompany you to various appointments, shopping, or just keep you company.
Angel Army is an equal opportunity company and can be reached at 215-805-8433 or visit angelarmycare.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Thank you.
And that was Carrie Job with What Love Is This. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Your time right now is 7:19. Thank you so much for starting off your day by listening to our program. I think one of the biggest needs for many of us as Catholics is a better understanding of the Bible. I think it's we're getting better at it, but for many of us, I know in my case, I always struggled with the Bible growing up. It was never a big part of my life. I now love Scripture, but I'm still playing catch up in certain ways. Dr. John Bergsma has written a book called Bible Basics for Catholics. He's been on with us before. I invited him back and asked him to do a regular series about the book. So today we're going to take a look at the covenant with Adam. Dr. John Bergsma, good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary.
Thanks again for coming back on the show. And would you say, Dr. Bergsma, that Catholics in many cases do struggle with the Bible? I mean, I know it's gotten better, but is that still a problem?
I think it is. I think, you know, we as Catholics, we hear the Bible quite a bit proclaimed in Mass, but we're not so familiar with the Bible as a book.
Yes.
You know, I'm a convert, Gary, and when you see Protestants carrying a big fancy book around, you know it's their study Bible.
That's right.
If you see Catholics carrying one around, it's either their missal or their liturgy of the hours.
Yeah, that's true. Very good point. Very good point.
So we're less familiar with it really as a book, but we can make that up.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about this. I wanted to talk about the God's covenant with Adam today, but before we do that, could you refresh us on the word covenant? I have to be honest, that's one of those words that still is a little fuzzy in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is for a lot of us. You know, we hear it at Mass, but I think very few of us stop to think, what do we really mean by that word? You know, what is a new and eternal covenant? But basically, it's pretty simple, Gary. A covenant is a family relationship formed by an oath. So when you swear to someone to be their family member, when you swear to be their husband, to be their father, to be their son, etc., that is a covenant. So some scholars call it the extension of kinship by oath, but you're forming a family by swearing. That's really what that all amounts to be.
Interesting. So, in the case of our covenant with the Lord, would you say that by that covenant we become part of His family?
Exactly. Okay. You know, the whole plan of salvation history really is God's effort to make us part of His family. And we're not naturally the children of God. Mm-hmm. We're naturally creatures made of clay, et cetera. So we share that with the animals. But God wants to raise us to a higher level. He wants to breathe into us His Spirit and make us sons and daughters of God. And, Gary, I think we take that for granted in the U.S., for example, that everybody thinks of themselves as a child of God or that we're all children of God. But this is actually unique to the Christian faith. And outside the Christian faith, in Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, they don't talk about being a child of God. That's not really a thing. That's really unique to what Jesus came to reveal to us, that we have been called to be part of the family of God through a covenant.
That's a good reminder. We do need to recall that. Let's talk a little bit about Adam, if we could. Adam, when we think of Adam, generally, he's the guy that messed it up for the rest of us. Right? We think about that original sin. But in reality, Adam was actually a model for all of us. And the purpose of his life remains the purpose for each of our lives, correct?
Yes. It's absolutely true. There's subtle things in the first chapters of Genesis that point to a number of different roles that Adam had. The language of him being put into the garden suggests that he was a priest and that the garden was an original place of worship. He spoke on behalf of God when he named the animals. That was kind of a prophetic role. He had rulership over all of creation. That's a kingly role. So he was a son of God by covenant, and then in a prophet, a priest, a king, and then ultimately also a bridegroom to his wife Eve. And these are kind of models for what we're called to be as Christians. You know, if we read in the Catechism and in the paragraphs about 900 through 909, it talks about us being called to be prophets, priests, and kings in the model of Christ through our baptism. So, you know, we as human beings are called to a great dignity, called to be children of God, and that really means to represent God in this beautiful creation that he's given to us. And we see Adam as a real model of that.
Let's talk about it, if we could, that our threefold role as priest, prophet, and king. We hear that phrase mentioned a lot, but what does it mean to me, a lay person? How can I be a priest?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's, you know, that's where it really, as they say, the rubber hits the road.
Yeah.
Let's take priesthood. That's just one of the most powerful things to me, because my discovery of being a priest in the image of Christ really came along with my conversion to the Catholic faith. But what we do as laity is we are offering, as St. Paul says in Romans 12:1, we're offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. Yeah. And by body, we mean the changing of the diapers, the paying of the bills,
wow,
the getting to work, all that nitty-gritty of our daily life, whether we're a student or a businessman or a nurse or homemaker, etc. All of that is the substance that we sacrifice, and we bring that weekly to Mass. And when that unconsecrated bread and wine go up the aisle to be received by the priest, that really symbolizes our lives, all the nitty-gritty of our lives being brought forward and becoming a sacrifice to God as kind of a priestly act on our behalf. So that's very powerful, Gary. And then, you know, in terms of kingship, ruling ourselves, okay, first of all, if you can't rule yourself, you know, you can't rule anything else. And so ruling our own passions and our own desires through the power of the Spirit, and then learning to take control of our homes, our businesses, etc., as expansion of our control over ourselves through the Holy Spirit. And the prophet aspect, that's you know, sharing God's word with other people. You know, the guy in the next cubicle, with our kids, with our neighbors, etc. So we can live that really rich life in the image of Christ.
I think that gets overlooked, that threefold role that we have as priest, prophet, and king. And I'm really glad you brought that out. As a prophet, I am called to be a prophet. John, I had somebody tell me one time when I was writing a blog post online, who do you think you are? Are you a prophet? I mean, they took issue with what I was saying. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, we're all called to be prophets. Prophets are the interface, the person who shares the word of the Lord with those around us.
Absolutely. And, you know, we think of the Sermon on the Mount. There's that line at the end of the Beatitudes where Jesus says, you know, blessed are you when men revile you, persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name.
Wow.
For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Whoa.
And you hear that line?
Yeah.
What he's saying is we're prophets as well. And there were prophets who were before us, and they were treated badly, and we're going to run into opposition too.
Right, right.
But it really suggests that, you know, his disciples, all those who follow Jesus, are going to have this prophetic role. So, yeah, I think you're right. We do share in that. Doesn't necessarily mean, you know, I got some kind of apparition about what's
right,
going to happen
exactly
next year.
Exactly.
But I can speak God's word. You know, that's my right as a baptized Christian.
Definitely. Bible Basics for Catholics, A New Picture of Salvation History by Dr. John Bergsma. Thank you so much, John, for coming on with us. Where can we follow you online?
Well, a couple places. TheSacredPage.com
okay.
is the blog with some friends of mine where we comment on the Sunday reading. And CatholicBibleTeacher.com will get you to me.
Excellent. Thanks again for joining us, Dr. John Bergsma.
Take care, Gary.
Take care. We'll be back with Dr. Gregory Popcheck. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. President Donald Trump is calling investigations into his campaign's possible ties to Russia's election meddling a, quote, taxpayer-funded charade and a total hoax. Trump is weighing in on Twitter following a congressional hearing on Russian interference. A former Obama administration official testified she tried to warn the Trump White House that National Security Advisor Michael Flynn could be blackmailed by Russia. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has called French President-elect Emmanuel Macron to congratulate him. He had not expressed support for either Macron or far-right National Front candidate Marine Le Pen before the election. Trump predicted last month that an attack on police officers in Paris might help Le Pen, though. And a Massachusetts woman who became a foster mother to more than 70 children has died. The Boston Globe reports that 82-year-old Miriam Gannon died of lymphoma at her Braintree home on Friday. Gannon and her husband were attending Sunday Mass in the 1960s when the priest pleaded for foster homes for children. The Gannons answered that call and over the years adopted nearly two dozen of their foster children and became legal guardians to many more. Many of those children had disabilities. Matthew Gannon expanded their home from four bedrooms to eight to accommodate everyone, complete with an elevator and wheelchair-accessible areas. Miriam Gannon said back in 2010, the children knew they were loved, quote, the minute they walked in the door. May she rest in peace. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
St. John Bosco Parish in Hatboro invites you to a Marian tea in honor of Our Lady of Fatima and her 100th anniversary. They will pray the rosary and the Divine Mercy chaplet, and they ask that you bring a statue of Mary if you're able for their altar. Bring a snack to share, coffee and tea will be provided. Again, Friday, May 12th, 6:30 p.m. at St. John Bosco Parish Center in Hatboro.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Mickey Hall lives in her best friend's basement, but it's not because she's facing financial hard times. Mickey used to have a job she enjoyed in Washington, D.C., but she felt lonely because the friends she made there always ended up moving away. Writing in the Washington Post, she said, "I was missing that deeper sense of connection." So when Mickey's best friend Stephanie, her husband, and their four kids decided to move to Denver, they invited her to join them and live in their basement apartment. She took them up on their offer, and the change has given her the feeling of connection she wanted. She wrote, "I get to chat with my best friend when I get home from work as she makes dinner and chases the children around. We're there for each other's everyday moments of anxiety. We have become a family." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You're listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My is found is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Yeah. just then. Oh God, how I need you.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek, and that was Matt Maher with Lord, I Need You. Let's take a quick look at the weather for the greater Philadelphia area right now. At the Philadelphia International Airport, it is 47 degrees. Today, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 63. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low around 48. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 67. At the present time, in Paoli, it's 36 degrees. In Langhorne, it's 44 degrees. And in Palmyra, New Jersey, it is also 44 degrees. Dr. Greg Popchak has been joining us to talk about his latest book, Be Dadattitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. He is back with us today to continue this series. And we're going to talk about the second Be Dadattitude. Blessed are the dads who mourn, for they will be comforted. Dr. Greg Popchak, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
Always a pleasure to have you on, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here.
This, Greg, is a confusing one to me. Blessed are the dads who mourn. Isn't mourning a passive thing?
Well, right. Yeah, I mean, honestly, this beatitude in general always confused me. First of all, because, like you said, it sounds like a passive thing. Like, how am I supposed to just actively mourn?
Exactly.
You know? And secondly, you know, it seems like kind of a depressing thing. You know, why would God want me to actively make myself miserable?
Right.
But if you look at the original language and the script and the commentaries on this verse, what you see is that to mourn is really about having compassion, a compassionate heart for the pain of those around you, being willing and able to respond to the hurts of those you care about. You know, in general, people are not comfortable with negative feelings, anger, sadness, frustration, pain. And men in particular really struggle with those feelings. We have a tendency to want to push people away who are that way around us and sort of, hey, just walk it off, you know? Don't bother me with it, right?
Exactly.
But when we do that, you know, especially as men, we end up hardening our hearts the people around us, and we're not able to respond to their pain and their hurt in ways that allow us to really attend to those wounds. You know, Pope Francis says, the world tells us that happiness, joy, entertainment are the best things in life, and it looks the other way when there are problems in the family. The world doesn't want to suffer. It prefers to ignore painful situations, but only the person who sees things as they are and whose heart mourns will be happy and comforted. It's a powerful reflection.
Yeah, it really is. And I from what I take of what you're saying is it okay as a man for me to be compassionate with myself?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, it has a start there. You know, in fact, each chapter of the book begins, well, it's divided up into 3 sections.
So
the first section of each chapter is our relationship to the Father and how God the Father relates to us. And in this chapter, talking about how we can begin to have that compassion for ourselves and experience that compassion from God the Father instead of the tendency that we have to beat ourselves up and, you know, attack ourselves when we make mistakes or we're not perfect. You know, and just how do we develop that compassion for ourselves first so that we can give that then to our wife and to our children, which are the second and third sections of each chapter as well.
Yeah, and one of the things you mention is to, and first of all, that makes me feel really good that I can be compassionate with regard to myself because I am hard on myself as a dad. I think I got to do better. I messed up. I'm no good. You know, there's so many things I could do. But you mentioned that we as men should confess our pain to God. Can you talk about that a little, Greg?
Well, sure. When you mentioned, you know, we beat up on ourselves like that, and we tend to see every imperfection as a criticism, as just one more sign that we don't measure up. And instead of beating ourselves up, it's good to confess that pain to God, to say, you know, Lord, I know that I'm imperfect, that I have limitations, that I'm weak. I know that I could do so much more, but help me to see that as an invitation. You know, to grow, not as an opportunity for condemnation, but really as an invitation to become the man you want me to be. You know, it doesn't make sense to beat ourselves up for those imperfections. It's good to recognize how much further we have to go. It's good to recognize that we can make improvements. But to beat ourselves up is Satan's way of stealing the energy and joy that that we have in responding to that invitation to grow and to become more. You know, God isn't saying, you're not enough. He's saying, I want to give you so much more than you have. And to accept that invitation is an opportunity for rejoicing, not for condemnation.
You also mentioned the importance of dwelling on God's mercy. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Well, sure. You know, to be merciful ultimately means that we're able to see the worth that another person has in God's eyes. And so that's what to be merciful means, to treat another person in a manner that allows them to see what they're worth in God's eyes. And we can't give what we don't have, right?
Right,
so we've got to first begin reflecting on what does God see in us? Why does God believe that we're worth anything?
Yeah.
And that we deserve his love, not on our own merits, but because he wants to give it to us. And so being able to rejoice in that mercy and kind of silence those inner voices that criticize ourselves or that separate us from God's love, and instead really dwelling on the fact that God does love us and wants to make us whole.
Mm-hmm. And in the book, you mentioned that it's a blessing to be able to mourn with our wives, to have compassion for their struggles, and to stand with our wives in time of difficulty. And you break this down, and Greg, this one really touched me. You break this down into three steps: don't personalize, empathize, and be responsible. That idea of don't personalize, you say this, and I underline this one because this is something that I struggle with because, well, let me just read it. Remember, even when your wife is upset with you, you are not the problem. The problem is the problem. That is a hard one for me because every now and then my wife is a living saint, but she has trouble with me and she'll get mad at something I did. And I find that really difficult. I feel defeated. I feel like I failed. I don't see the problem as being the problem. I see Gary Zimak as being the problem.
Yeah, well, I think we all have a tendency to do that. But the more we do that, the more we tend to get defensive and push away opportunities for growth. You know, if I can step back and see that complaint that my wife has about me as an invitation from God to grow in ways that I might not have been aware of before, or look at this as an invitation to change parts of myself that I'd want to change if I was aware of it, you know, then I can say, yeah, well, you know, this is hard to hear, but I want to work with her in improving this. If I look at it more in terms of, you know, there she goes again, criticizing me, here I am, I'm not enough, you know, one more thing I'm screwing up, you know, then I just become defensive and I push her away. And more importantly, I push away the invitation that God's giving me through those comments to grow and change in ways that I need to grow. Now, to be fair, I mean, we need to treat each other charitably and respectfully. You know, there are certainly ways we can bring up each other's faults that are anything but, you know, charitable or respectful. And so that doesn't mean that, you know, we get to talk to each other as husbands and wives any darn way we want.
Right.
You know, we need to be sensitive to that. But having said that, you know, even if your wife is complaining to you about you, it's not about you in a sense. It's about working on this problem together so that you can love each other better.
That is such an important concept. And one of the things you mentioned, and again, this really has touched me, Greg. You know, I'm a big fan of your work. That's why I have you on the show. But on a personal level, this really touched me. When there is a problem, maybe my wife is having an issue with something I'm doing, you recommend saying, honey, I'm sorry you're going through this. I love you. What can I do to help? Now, that's not an easy thing for me to say. But you also, and I need to hear this, you say, if she tells you what it is that you can do to help, just go do that thing. Don't argue with her or tell her that what she asked for is silly. Just do it. As a man, as a stubborn man, as somebody who's very proud, that's not easy for me, Greg.
Well, no, it's hard for all of us. But and I run into this a lot in marriage counseling, too, where, you know, I'll have a wife say, you know, well, you know, I just need him to respect me. I just need him to be more affectionate, or I need him to just talk to me. And then she'll be done, and then he looks at me and says, you know, I don't know what she wants from me.
Wow.
Well, she just said it.
Wow. Yeah.
But the problem is, you know, we hear these things, but we don't want to do it. So we pretend that we're stupid. We pretend not
exactly.
to understand. You know, I mean, if I actually got it, that I'd have to change. No, that'd be horrible, right?
but
she's telling us what we need, what she needs from us. You go do that, and sure, it's going to be hard, and sure, there's going to be growth involved. But we're not ultimately changing for her. We're changing because God needs us to make that change.
And finally, as far as our relationship with our children go, you mentioned that we as fathers cannot be embarrassed to shower affection and attention on our children.
Yeah, you know, that's what allows them to open up their hearts to us and really talk to us about what their concerns are. And, you know, the goal here of fatherhood is to create a discipleship relationship with our kids. Wow. We want to show them how to live a godly life. But we can't do that if we haven't collected their hearts. Mm. And the only way to collect their heart is by giving them that affection in the first place and not just saying, hey, you can talk to me about anything, you know, but actually demonstrating that by being willing to listen. And when we do, when they do tell us what's on their heart, even when it's stuff that's hard to hear, we don't lash out at them, we don't criticize them for it, we kind of take a breath, you know, offer up that quick prayer, and we try to empathize as best we can with what they're going through, so they get that we get them. And that makes them want to come to us and say, you know, Dad's always willing to listen to even the hard stuff I have to say, and he's willing to help me through it instead of just shutting me down and pushing me away.
Awesome, awesome. I can't believe it, but we are just about out of time. Dr. Greg Popcheck, the book is The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. Thanks again, Greg, for joining us. Best place to follow you online?
CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you so much, brother. Dr. Greg Popcheck, continuing his series on the book, The Bedatitudes. When we come back, it's time for the Be Not Afraid Bible Verse.
This is what we come here for. This is why we stay.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and 3 nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit in the morning with Gary Simak.
My life flows on in endless song above earth's lamentation. I hear the sweet, though far off, hymn that heralds a new creation. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It sounds an echo in my soul. Oh, how can I keep from singing? No storms can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?
Play it, Kevin.
Joys and comforts die, the Lord my Savior liveth. What though the darkness gathers round, songs in the night he giveth. I lift mine eyes, the cloud rose thin, I see the bloom above it. And day by day, this pathway smooths, since first I learned to love it. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?
Amen, brother.
I love that. Buddy Green with How Can I Keep From Singing. What a good message. You know, if you're feeling a little down today, since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? What's the problem? Why do we get caught up in the problems and the difficulties? Well, a lot of times it's because we're focusing more on the problems than we are on the Lord. So here's what to do. Just spend a little bit of time thinking about the fact that Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. That means he's in charge. He's in charge of your problems. He's in charge of everything and everyone in your life. He's bigger than any problem you will face. Think about that a little, and you're going to feel better. Let's look at today's Stop Worrying and Start Living, or Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Comes from my new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. This is Luke 2:48. When the parents of Jesus saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." This is the famous story of the finding in the temple.
Exactly.
Mary and Joseph, they lost Jesus. Now imagine that.
They lost their son.
I lost Jesus.
Yeah, oh, I know. That's a big problem. That's a big problem.
I know a lot of people that lost Jesus.
But, well,
come on back.
But that's one of the meanings of this. We often do lose Jesus in our lives. Absolutely. When we walk away from him. He's with us, but we turn away from him by committing serious sin or whatever. Beautiful. Are we willing to do what Mary and Joseph did and seek him out?
Yeah.
But the other thing, and the reason I chose this verse for the book, if you notice, Mary is asking Jesus, "Son, why have you done this to us?" In other words, mm-hmm. she doesn't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't reveal everything to her. Mm-hmm. Mary's not omniscient. She's not God. She's a human.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times when she doesn't understand what's happening in her life. But what does she do? She asks questions.
Mm-hmm.
"Son, why have you done this to us?" She asked a question. She didn't get it. She thought she maybe did something wrong. We, mm-hmm. as we struggle with the problems in our life, it's okay to ask questions.
But passage, Gary? I have to ask, but I know isn't there a passage that says, because and I have to be about my Father's business.
And that's what Jesus goes on. That's the answer that he gives.
Yes.
And guess what? That was not easy for Mary and Joseph to hear.
No.
Especially Joseph he's the foster father of Jesus, but Jesus said, don't you know that I must be in my Father's house? Now, if I was the father, Joseph, I'd think, oh, wait a minute, aren't I your father? But it was really a wake-up call for both of them, a reminder that we need to be detached from certain things in life.
Yeah. And Jesus was there for something bigger.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and
yep.
It's simple as that. And
we as parents would say, "Hey, get over here."
Right.
You know,
right.
And you're in timeout. Something. Yeah, I mean, we'd have that total human response as a parent.
I know. But it's a great reminder that it's okay to ask questions.
Absolutely.
If you're going through something right now, you don't understand why you're going through it, ask the Lord. Say, "Hey, Lord, what are you trying to teach me?"
Mm-hmm.
Now, he might not answer you right away because sometimes he just wants us to trust him, and that's what I've found. But sometimes he will give you an answer. You'll get an inspiration. Yes. You'll meet somebody. Somebody will say something. Ask questions. Mm-hmm. It is okay to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I can't believe it. We're just about
that's right.
The end of the program.
Absolutely.
Any thoughts, Frank?
I try not to think.
That's good.
You know, I think, you know, it's another good program. And I think that, you know, one of the things as I, you know, think through all the things that we do and the message that we give is, how do we excite people in the faith? How do we get people to come back into the faith? And I think we're doing a lot of that with this show.
I agree.
And so, you know, I think there's a lot of overwhelmingly good messages, as you can find throughout the day. And, you know, one of the other things about that was this past weekend, you know, we were at Mass and the homily was kind of this call for donations. So one of the things I'll say is a lot of our faith is struggling right now financially.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's how do we take the good that we have and be able to give it back a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
And so certainly giving back to our parishes is key. We have to keep them at the forefront and be able to, you know, afford to have the right things. And then I was going to say, once you get past that, if you have some left over, you know, please consider giving to Holy Spirit Radio. And a couple of the donors in the past few weeks, we've had donors who actually have employer matches, which is one of the best ways not only to give to Holy Spirit Radio, but also sometimes to your church. So also, if you have an employer who matches donations, look into it. What do they match? Mm-hmm. You know, is there ways that they would match your donation to your church? Is there ways they would match your donation to Holy Spirit Radio? Mm-hmm. And if they do, you know, keep that in mind as well. But first and foremost, also do the right things for yourself and your family. And I think that's also a key message. So, you know, if you're struggling to kind of pay your electric bill or your food bill, they're priorities.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
But, you know, if you can afford it,
yeah, I was
think
say,
about doing the right things.
I mean, think of the widow's mite. I mean, if you, okay, so things are hard, you know, especially towards the end of the month for a lot of us, you know, as our coffers dwindle. You know, give what you can to your church.
Yeah.
And I mean, you may have committed something, but if you can't do that, still give, but give something.
Yes.
If it's within your means.
Definitely. And we do appreciate your donations. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate you spreading the word about Holy Spirit Radio.
I would say prayers are the most important. And then also telling people about Holy Spirit Radio is, you know, one of the things is, it's, you know, we can bring you closer to the Catholic faith in the Philadelphia area. And that's what makes us the differentiator.
That's
right. So you can get to know, you know, I was just exchanging emails about the catechism event that we have coming up. You know, so there's a lot of good things that we're going to make possible for you to be a part of.
And we thank you for your support. Let's conclude with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that celebrating the mysteries of the Lord's resurrection, we may merit the joy of our redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Altogether, we say
amen.
I love it, boys. I love it when we do things in unison.
I know.
Tomorrow on the show, our friend Tony Agnese will join us, as well as singer-songwriter Marty Rotella.
Wow.
So it's going to be a great show. Always
I love
good.
All our guests, but those guys are really awesome to me. You know?
So we love being here. We thank you for listening. And remember to spread the word about Spirit in the Morning and Holy Spirit Radio. Wherever you go today, whatever you do, don't forget that the Lord is with you. He's right by your side. What you need to do is turn around and say hi, and also thank him for all the blessings that he has given you and for his presence in your life. Thanks for tuning in. God bless you. This is Gary Zimek on behalf of Dave Parker, Frank Eliason. We'll talk to you next time.